from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Before we do that, let's get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Jeremy Kipnis.
You just made the list!
Yeah, this is over on Twitter or X from Hitman Hoops News. Memphis Men's Director of Recruiting, Jeremy Kipnis, is leaving the program, a source tells me. Kipnis is expected to become the new assistant coach at Sacred Heart. He has been with the program since 2020-2021. Good opportunity for him, says Hitman Hoops. Heard, I'll ask you this, because I will defer to your expertise. How big of a story is this or is this not? Because I can already tell you what the haters are going to say. Here we go again. More revolving door. And I always feel like, y'all, it's a director of recruiting. He's taking an assistant job. Like, that's different. He wants to coach.
Yeah. Like, that's moving up. That's, like you say, haters will say that. I think it's half and half. Like, for me, it's a little like, I'm going to call him when he leaves because Jeremy was a really, really good guy. But if you're not deep into it, I don't think people really would know or care about Jeremy. But he is a good guy. He does more things like organizing, you know, recruiting and practice and making. It ain't like he could get on the road and then. So that's just with any of us. Like, I don't know how a restaurant work. You would want to get off fries if you can be the lead
cook.
You
want to go from bussing tables to waiting tables.
So, if it's an opportunity, like Rodney Hamilton a year before, he got an opportunity to be a real assistant. So head coaches would even tell guys that's on their support staff, if they get a real role, most of them are supported. They would feel be a reference for it and everything. So, yeah, I don't think this should be an indictment to, like, Penny or nothing, even though y'all feel like, you know, it's not an assistant that left. But Jeremy is a good guy.
I've also wondered this. So the tagline used to always be, and I'm not saying this is specific to Memphis, this was college in general. Recruiting's about relationships. And I used to always think that was somewhat, like, that's not wrong, but it's also a half-truth. Like, recruiting's about relationships and knowing how to get the job done, if you will. Like, that's what I think recruiting used to be. It seems to me now, I'm not saying relationships are nothing burgers, but it feels like way more than ever, it is just strictly transactional. It's like either who offers me the most money, and where I can see relationships may matter is, okay, if all things are equal, which staff do I feel more comfortable with? But like, if I'm more comfortable with staff A that's offering me 400, but staff B, who I texted with and like had a couple of Zooms, well, they're offering me 650, I'm going to go to that.
Yeah, unfortunately, now that's the only downside I would say to NIL. Now, I do want the kids to get paid a lot of money, like me and you talk off air, because, you know, something they might have to even do with the coaches if they start their CBA you talking about. They can't leave whenever. But some coaches who enjoy recruiting and being in the gym and relationships do matter in the real world with the kids to learn. It doesn't mean as much in the NIL era because, like you say, nobody's going to turn down an extra $250,000. Most people don't unless they just really, really privileged and stuff like that. They're not turning it down. So
nobody's turning it down unless they can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at that point, that's the negative problem to NIL because it is becoming more transactional than it used to be like you say. And it is hurt, like you say, assistant coaches now. Do it come down with who's cooler with a certain booster or who actually can get the, like back in the day, like right. Who can recruit and get the job right. done? So, yeah, that has changed things in our world.
I actually think that this is, I don't know if this is a intended or if this is logical, but the other thing is, it seems to me it's becoming harder and harder to be an assistant that moves up because used to be the easiest way to move up no matter what, be the recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, all of a sudden you can find yourself going from coaching wideouts to calling plays to you know, James Franklin's now James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a normal path. Now it feels like also like if you look at most of when people are hiring head coaches, it's like, well, they were head coaches somewhere else. And I guess if you're an assistant, you can still kind of get the lower level jobs, but it's almost like I feel like we're cycling through the same head coaches more than ever, rather than having guys like, all right, this guy gets a shot.
So you know what's funny, even pre NIL, Jeffrey. So you know in football, if you were a top recruiter,
yep.
You would move up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, from wide receiver, offensive coordinator, from DB all the way to head coach.
Yep.
Basketball is a kind of the opposite. If you're a great recruiter, you get labeled as that, and you almost, like, it hurts you. Like, you got guys who get all the top players, their label is, that's a recruiter.
Yeah,
and so they look at recruiter
yeah.
and head coaches a little different in basketball. Then when you get the one opportunity here and there with a Kenny Payne,
yeah.
and it goes extremely wrong, it's another 20 years, unless you say they take a pay cut and the guy that's the assistant at University of Memphis, North Carolina, becomes the head coach at, the only thing open is Florida, FAMU, which no yeah. disrespect to FAMU, but like, you're actually taking a
yeah,
pay cut.
Yes.
So basketball is unique in a way like, oh, I want to recruit good, but then I don't want to get in a box that's only known as a recruiter if I want to be a head coach one day.
Yeah, and it's never made sense to me because you know the easiest way to be a really good coach? Have really good players. Like,
factual.
You know, I don't have to run as good a stuff if I've got really good players. And, like, it's always weird. Like, in basketball, we always seem to value coach that did more with less. But I'm always sitting there going, like, I'm not saying that that's not a skill. Like, that is
that's
great.
Good.
That's great coaching. But most of these jobs that they end up getting, they're players league jobs. And it's about players. And it's like, if I don't got a guy that can get players, I don't care how good of the stuff he runs. Like, it's just not going to matter. Like, it used to drive me insane because while the SEC was never like the highest skill level of basketball, it's always been a league about who's got the dudes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's like when you just saw everyone cycling through like, well, this guy was an elite mid-major coach. And I'm like, how's he getting guys? This is a league about who gets the guys. And it's like, it works against you. It makes no sense to me.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. It is some great coaches, though, like the Buzz at Texas A&M.
Buzz Williams.
And certain guys like that. But no matter who you are, Pop is showing you that now, whoever you must have players. And I will say this, before NIL, even though you don't become a head coach, the only thing that matter in basketball is assist, because all assistant basketball coach is on most staffs is a professional suggestion maker.
Yes.
So I tell, that's why you will see an AAU coach get hired.
Room checker.
Yeah. Babysitter, academic, yeah. The list yeah. going on. That's why before NIL, you will see more AAU guys get hired over high school. And what I used to tell high school coaches were, you know, you have to get out of your element. Because I'd have been offered a free D1 coaching job. And I would tell him you have to get out of your element because all these nice plays, you know, Bill Self is never going to let you draw up a play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's Bill's grease board.
No, seriously. Like, even when Pennington had some difficulties with some guys here, even a couple of them been my friends, one of them or two had big names like him. It's like the head coach is going to – they're going to get all the blame. The head coach is running their stuff, so they're not bringing assistants. Now, some of them might bring a guy in, pick his mind. He's a big offensive good. But for the most part, they're bringing you in to get players. That's how it was before the NIL. Now they're bringing some guys that maybe can raise money, but that's just how it was for 98% of schools.
No, it's why, like, you see, like, a school like Charlotte go and hire Biff Poggi. Biff was a hedge fund guy, and Biggs – he's independently wealthy. And if you're a school like Charlotte, I mean, you can have all the NIL capital campaigns you want. I mean, you're just not going to have the money. No. So it's like, we got to find a guy that can maybe do it on his own.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see, like, to your point, like, I don't know, is that going to be a new market for assistance, like fundraiser? Like, it used to be like the AD was the fundraiser. Now, I mean, if I got an unbelievable salesman, I'm thinking about getting him on staff. Like, hey, you're telling me you can go raise an extra $2 million? I'm listening. I'm not handing you the grease board. Like, we're in film. I don't really want you piping up, but yeah, like, yeah. I might have a seat for you. Like, I mean, I do think like we're gonna start seeing stuff like this.
We're getting to that.
You know, because if that's what it's gonna be about.
You know, college basketball, and I told you this earlier in the week, and I know you might be like, oh, this just heard grassroots. College is getting more and more like grassroots. You know what a lot of...
Oh, no, I have zero pushback on that.
Yeah, you know what a lot of teams do that don't have a team, Thad, or EYB, the assistant coach is one of the fathers that has a lot of money. Okay, the eighth and ninth kid.
How's that? It doesn't matter if it's like youth football, if it's EYBL tournament, if it's a showcase, if you have to ask the question, how did that kid get here? There's usually the exact same answer. Either A, well, his dad's funding the team. B, his dad has paid for the entire team. Like, or he built the team himself. Like, he just bought, like, he started his own team. Like, that's it. If there's like eight good guys and then that one, it's like, yeah, that's usually always the same answer.
Every time. And it sounds like the mid-majors, like you said, or even some high majors, is coming to the point where a guy that can raise money and donate money might be a serious assistant candidate.
Well, I mean, the other trend that I've started noticing, if you look at the head coaching hires, another big part of it is, okay, we got this job open. We know the entire team's leaving. Like, we got to go hire somebody that's going to at least bring four or five kids with him. And, like, that's going to at least get us through year one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we saw Dusty May at FAU. Mark Pope brought his guys. I mean, Cal largely brought who he wanted with him to Arkansas. I mean, that's the trend that we're seeing. It's like, and I think it's just going to make it even harder and harder for assistants to get jobs, because it's not like you can be an assistant in the interview and say, hey, I'm bringing so-and-so with me, but... I mean, in the end, it's like, is the kid more loyal to the assistant or the head coach? Like, that's a tough one.
And back in the day, having one player as an assistant meant a lot. Think about it. When an assistant brought the kid, you could like, oh, if you don't give me the job, I'm going here, and I can bring one kid before kids could transfer every year. That meant a lot. But to your point, that might not even mean a lot no more. Assistant that got one kid, and then the new head coach can bring four or five, so that will keep the recycle going on with the same coaches.
It's why I tipped my cap when Boynton was at Oklahoma State. He brought, what, Cade's brother? Was it Cade's brother on staff? And I was like, it was so unusual, because it's like, man, that's old school. Like, I missed the good old days of, hey, how is that guy sitting in the third chair? It's like, well, it's Cade's brother. Like, I was like, good for them.
That was magical. And, you know, I never said this publicly. I never even talked to Penny about this. But that same year, I don't think we had hired a coach. But I don't think a lot of people knew that his brother wanted to even coach. Because I talked to people. It was like, If I knew that, because Cade Cunningham was a program changer. Yes. And I know he evolves and he do great with pros. And I don't think people even knew that. Congrats to Oklahoma State for doing another. I think he was doing that. Brother was doing some with
I think it was
SMU.
I think he was doing like I think he was like the a video.
Was it for
guy.
SMU or somebody?
That sounds right.
Because they out of Texas or whatever. He was doing it with some. I think it was S, but I don't think nobody. Everybody was thinking, okay, well, he know he's going to be rich in a year. But to bring him on, that was amazing.
Now, I will say, to counter my own point, that is where I do think relationships matter.
Mm-hmm.
Someone at Oklahoma State figured out, hey, guys, all we got to do to make this happen, on top of, I'm sure.
yeah, still have.
But that was going to be part of it anyway. Yeah. Like, we just got to give his brother a gig. Done. Like, sold. And to your point, it's like, where the relationship matters. Somebody figured that out through the relationship. Because as you said, if I would have known that, I would have done that.
It's I'm sure plenty of people would. And shout out to even the Knicks with that, because Stephen A. Smith and some of the people ripped them about, why are y'all going to Jalen Dallas games? Why are y'all hiring the daddy? This is so high school. And that turned out to be a franchise changer. So it's happening at all levels. I've never seen it happen like that in the NBA, even though his daddy used to work for some of the people that run the Knicks now, Leon Rose, that. But literally, you don't see that happen too much, especially with a kid that at the time wasn't a superstar, but the Knicks got him at the Knicks knew something that the world didn't know, because he is usually happened with Greek Freak and his brother. He's already a superstar. LeBron and his son, he's already a superstar. But, you know, Brunson, Dallas didn't even offer him a max at the time. You remember? And so for them to put that much behind it, now granted, it could have been the Knicks has been so horrible and has made so many other bad decisions. Why not try this one? But it has really worked.
No, I mean, I really do think part of the Mavericks, this is dumb, but I think part of it was they thought, he got on a heater that playoff win. Because it's not when he went to the Knicks they made the mistake. Where they made the mistake was not giving him the extension after that heater. And I think it's just because they're like, he's a second rounder. Like, we're thrilled for him. But it's like, I think they kind of like bet against themselves. And that was kind of like the mistake. And I don't know. Brunson's like one of those guys that breaks my brain where you can't deny like what he's doing. But I always just, whenever he has 40, I always just find myself going, is that guy really a top 10 guy? But like, it's like, you don't. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying.
I'm not. You don't want to come across as a hater, because it's like, it is amazing what he's doing, but it's like, I still don't know if I really believe it.
He's pretty good. And the only thing that saved Dallas' butt was they were able to trade and re-sign Kyrie Irving. Oh, I think it would have really made them look crazy. And I'm going to be real, as good as Kyrie is, you got people that say they would take, at this stage, Jalen Brunson first.
I looked it up. So Cannon's now at Tulane, Cannon Cunningham. So he played at SMU.
I knew it was okay.
And then, tell me if this sounds familiar. In 2017-18, he was the head coach at Highland Park Middle School in Dallas. Not even Highland Park High School. Highland Park Middle School. And then he was the head coach of Drive Nation's under-16 AAU team. And they also played in the EYBL circuit. I love that move. How do you scout? What's the best way to get players for your 16, 17s? Make sure you got them in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
I love that move.
For sure.
I remember one of my buddies who is a high school coach, like, he's like, this summer I'm having to coach AAU. And I was like, why? He goes, well, because I'm trying to go across the district and get like 3 guys. Like, my team sucks. He's like, they pay me just enough to keep my wife like a little bit happy. All right, let's go with, there was one other thing. Now I've screwed up. I've clicked out of my, let's go with NFL news.
You just made the list.
No, I beg your pardon. Let's go with the Memphis Grizzlies.
You just made the list.
Here it is. So Kevin Pelton has ranked the Grizzlies off season. So this is all the additions. I believe this does not include the presumptive re-signing of Luke Kennard, because it hasn't happened yet.
That's crazy, though.
I don't know if my guy, like, someone just needs to tell me, because it's not like he's signing with other teams. And, like, is this like a Mark situation? Remember when Mark just didn't sign his extension because he was, like, on a boat in Spain? Like, he hadn't signed his extension. Like, is Luke, like, I know they just had a kid recently, but it's like, is he on like a 3-month sabbatical? It's like, it's very confusing so far. All right, Pelton grades it a C. The Memphis Grizzlies are in a unique position amongst the contenders and have room to move their grade with moves the rest of the summer. After dealing Zaire Williams to the Nets, Memphis could access its mid-level exception to add to the roster while re-signing Luke Kennard for less than the value of $14.8 million, which was the team option. For now, the Grizzlies' only newcomer is number 9, Zach Edey. If Edey can hold up defensively in starter minutes, he fills an enormous hole at center, a factor for Memphis dropping into the lottery after two seasons of 50-plus wins. I like Kevin, and Kevin's ultimate answer would be, I didn't give this grade, my computer gave this grade, which is fine. I think it was a better offseason than that because they actually accomplished a couple of things I didn't think they'd be able to do. They've had a crowd, particularly at the wing, and I didn't know if they were going to be able to get rid of, like, honestly, I didn't really know if they were going to be able to trade Zaire. And yeah, you had to attach a second-round pick, but I mean, come on. Like, as I said on the show, the day that I saw our boy Jay Crowder get traded for 5 second-round picks, that was when I realized, like, second-round picks don't mean anything. Like, that's, like, at all. So, like, I think they were able to clear up some of the crowd. And then I know it's probably not factored in because of, I think it's largely transaction moves. They've kind of, everything that you've needed to see so far, you've actually seen from what they're trying to do. Edey, so far, in limited sample size, the summer league, everything, looked pretty good. Scottie Pippen, I think, looked better than even expected. GG yet again showed that you have every reason to be optimistic. And I think the other big one was, like, I thought LaRavia, like, all things considered, I'm not asking him to be part of the massive rotation, but it's like, it seemed to me like, okay, if this guy is your 11th or 12th guy and he's going to have to play 30 to 40 big games a year, it's like, he's going to be fine. Like, to me, it's like everything that they actually needed to see, they did.
No, fully agree. We didn't need that many things to be done. So if they're giving us a C just based off of, oh, it's only this player, this player. Well, that's all they needed. Like you said, if you're judging on what we needed, it got to at least be a B because we think at best, I mean, it got a lot to do with Edey. A big thing he just said, if Edey can play starting minutes on the defensive end, then yeah, it got to be higher than that. But that's, I mean, we kind of got what we needed. Like you said, we got off that wing trade, which I still think, I don't know, at some point we're probably going to have to get rid of another wing.
I think that's more than likely.
And the Kennard thing, having a kid will make you sign something quicker from people. I know that means you're going to have more
deals. I would think his wife's yelling at him. I know what mine would be saying. Why haven't you signed that deal?
Exactly. So it's weird to me on that because I think he's a good player, but the way the NBA, it's like anything. If you were selling your car or shirt right now, some people wait on certain people, but most people say first come, first serve. Whoever bring $3,000 all over Facebook, and for him to be even waiting on them or in another team, having the whole thing is to me is a look because basketball. Let me tell you something about basketball. It's not college. You got to do stuff underhanded. One thing about pros. It's public knowledge. It's public knowledge to get stuff done.
The only thing that would make sense, and see if you buy this, the only thing that makes sense to me, because by all accounts, Luke wants to be here and isn't really thinking about other options. The only thing that makes sense is the agent is still holding on, still thinking, like, I can still get a better offer. But that's really the only thing that makes sense. Unless there's some arbitrary date that the Grizzlies are finagling that I don't know about, but I don't know how that would apply.
Yeah, you got me on that. And one thing I have learned on free agents from talking to many mid-level plus guys, outside of being a superstar, and it hurts superstars too, the longer free agency, the more money that is getting cleared up and drawn up, especially from sometimes most of the money be gone within the first week of free agency.
The only thing I can think of is you're waiting on maybe some teams that end up having to like get up to that 90% level and you think that there's going to be more money out there. But it's so covered right now. Like, I feel like everybody knows where everybody's money is.
For sure. Now, I have heard this before. I have known some NBA players that let's say me and the team agree today on, what's today, July 25th, but it saves the team a little money if you don't officially sign the, like, August 13th, some weird stuff like that. Like they, you won't be on the July book.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen some stuff like that, or waiting to this. Actually, that is last year after All-Star Weekend. He had agreed with the Suns that he was going there, but he told me he couldn't officially sign the next week and out of here to the next week because it saves so many hundred. So I don't know if it's something like that going on.
Do you remember, though, like, usually in those situations, it gets announced. Like, you know, Woj or someone will say, like, do you remember, did Thads get announced?
Yeah, he got announced. Yeah, he got announced. He would be joining the Suns for the rest of the year.
If that were the case, I totally would get that. But, like, I don't know. I'm at a loss on this one. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk to Jason Smith. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jason, let's start with some Tiger football. We haven't gotten to talk about it. Do you find yourself a little wistful now that we're seeing chunks of the artist formerly known as the Liberty Bowl getting taken out?
I do, maybe, but I haven't driven by it since it's been it looks like, I've seen it from the pictures, that it's pretty.
We got the video camera too, that live stream.
Yeah, it's a little jarring in terms of like the holes they put it in, and I guess with all of the machinery they had hitting it at the same time. I had sort of poo-pooed the phase two press conference, Jeffrey, before I saw the pictures, just thinking, do I need a presser on every phase? But what was impressive, what I had to sort of check myself on, was when they hit it with the machinery at the same time, to see it all fall sort of was it did bring back a little nostalgia, but more importantly, it gave you a sense of you're moving things forward. It's progress. And so better that you're able to move on to phase two. We know that the fundraising was obviously all part of this to be able to move through each phase. And yeah, man, it's good to see. It's good to see. I haven't seen it yet. I figure when you see it in person, and I've driven over to the I'm over at that Memphis Sports and Events Center, that beautiful Memphis Sports and Events Center that's doing, you know, magnificent stuff in terms of having something in there every day. I'm by there typically for a price or two for Chris, and I'm looking forward to going over there next week and kind of getting a look at what's happening over at Simmons Bank. But, yeah, man, it's a sign of progress, and it's all representative of the what we hope is an upward trajectory for the entire program, which now, you know, has ownership of the place, has control of the place. You know, that's different, too, about the times we're going into. So good times for Memphis football, and hopefully things are going to align for them on the field as well.
So Hurd and I were talking about this earlier in the week, and it's an interesting hypothetical. So I'll toss it out to you. If I gave you, I'll say it this way. If I give you a win over Florida State, which is on the road, versus AAC title but no playoff berth, what are you taking? Because I told her, it's not a fair question. Because I do think if you say AAC title, in my mind, if they win the AAC, I think they are likely to be a playoff team, and that makes it a different thing. But if I stipulate AAC title, no playoff berth, or whenever Florida State, what would you take?
So they took Mountain West, huh?
Would that be more or less, let's say Liberty. Liberty's undefeated record just made them too much.
Even though that
correct. Even though they just shouldn't. Yes.
That was a joke, right?
Okay. Correct.
Wow. I mean,
I give him credit. It's a pretty good hypothetical.
It is. For Ryan Silverfield, I'd say getting the AAC title is pretty darn important because we're at a point now where we're saying you have to own this league, but more importantly, he hadn't made a title game yet. And so that is goal number one, and they've said it in-house. They've said it to the media, and I think we're all there. Like, we all want the college football playoff appearance. We're hoping that winning the AAC gets you there. And a lot of the conversation starts with that opportunity. But goal number one has to be winning the AAC. And so for Ryan Silverfield, who's armed with a new contract but has not won an AAC title, I do think that's critically important. Like, I think you could still continue to build on momentum, hopefully, in terms of, you know, doing it again next season, recruiting the way you have if you go ahead and win the AAC title. So as much as I'd love to sit up here and tell you, you know, I think you have to take the scenario that includes the AAC title, even if it means you're not making college football playoff. This program needs it right now. You need to put your foot down on the AAC's neck because of the investment now, because of the fact that you can't look over to Texas and say SMU has more than us. You have more investment, it looks like, than anybody in the group of five. And so from that, I don't care. I mean, obviously, Tulane has set the standard the last 2 years, but you have the advantage of having a fourth-year quarterback that, to your credit, you've kept. Everything is lined up. You're recruiting at a level you haven't before, particularly in a transfer portal where you're now pulling guys down from power programs rather than having to depend on pulling them up like a Chandler Martin from an East Tennessee State. And you've got to, as I said, put your foot on the rest of this conference's neck by not just appearing, I'd say winning it, Jeffrey, because again, what are we going to wait on next? This is the year to win it. You got Seth Hennigan. You got an offense that should be top 15 in the country from an efficiency standpoint. So I'm going to go with, even though it'd be disappointing that you're not in, that wouldn't be their fault. You know, you won the AAC, which is the task for Memphis football and Ryan Silverfield this year.
In your mind, what's going to be the pass-fail standard?
For me, it's that. I mean, I do think you fail if you – certainly you fail if you don't make the American title game, if you don't make the AAC title game. It's a failure.
Yeah, I totally agree on that.
Now, nothing's changed. What will happen is that those of us that – and I've held up my hand. I've done this over and over, and I think it's important to do. For those of us that were out on Ryan Silverfield last year, you know, he has gotten this thing back to a level where possibly you could go to somewhere you haven't before. But all of that said, there are still boxes that haven't been checked for Ryan, and that includes, most importantly, is an AAC title, and it's never been more critical, Jeffrey, for all the reasons I just laid out, you know, from an investment standpoint, everything else. Here's the deal. He's got the contract now, though, the contract extension, which locks him in, makes it tougher to move on from him. And so if he's not winning an AAC title, well, certainly not making a not even making the conference title game, with now having the contract extension, we're back to where we were. A lot of us that have had to come around and say, hey, Ryan Silverfield turned this thing around, he shut us up, would be right back to that point of doubting whether or not he's the guy. And yet now you're faced with a situation where if you wanted to move on, you've got to pay more to do it in terms of now that he's locked in. And so from that standpoint, pass or fail is make the AAC title game. If you don't, it's a failure. I would still tell you, for everything we just said, you need to win it. Like, I'm going to have a hard time giving you a good grade, a B grade, Jeffrey, if you got to the title game and lost. I don't, you know, I know that the toughest games this year from the AAC standpoint are on the road. But again, you are a notch. Look at those first place votes. You are considered two notches above the rest of the conference. And so I'd almost tell you that it'd be a complete failure if you don't win it. But certainly if he's not in it, for me, that's it. It's that, getting the AAC title. And then very fairly, we see where it goes from there. Because some of that, in terms of making the college football playoff from there, from winning an AAC title, much like you said, could be out of your control. It's going to be depend on what folks think of Liberty. It's going to depend on what the Mountain West did against their, you know, couple of Pac two teams that are still on that schedule, because that could actually beef up their schedule if they've got a couple of wins there. That'll be out of your control, is my point. And so they will have done what they were required to do, which to me, again, is win it. Although, yeah, pass, fail. Fail is if you don't make the game. And I'm going to have a hard time saying it's not a failure if you don't win it.
Yeah, I think you're right, because instinctively there's kind of what I call the Skip Bayless, and not the hot take, but Skip to me is always one of my, I think, the more underrated things that he does is when he flips on a previous take, he apologizes for thinking he was wrong. And I think when you get to the point where everyone is kind of like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, yes, he's done a great job of changing people's minds, but as soon as, like, people start to see the evidence back, you just go back to, like, I knew I was right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people just instinctively do that.
You said the word, it's instinctive to go back. And in many ways, you know, many of us, you know, want to be able to do that, right? To say, my first instinct was right. I knew it all
along. I should trust my gut. My first answer is always the best answer. That one.
1,000%. And again, because he doesn't have one of those, like, they're, I realize, you know, a 10-win season, they don't come around. What was that, the fourth time in program history? But again, and when it came to the AAC, you underperformed. Again, you couldn't win the big ones, including one that I had high hopes for in SMU. And what I heard afterwards, a lot of afterwards, was, well, they're $33,000 a player. You know, it's a different level in terms of what they can do. Those excuses are out the window. And so back to the point, because Ryan doesn't have that, I think, yes, if he doesn't get it again in this year where you've done such a good job retaining the talent that you have. I mean, my gosh, the Seth Hennigan story. It doesn't happen in group of five. Typically, guys that have performed as well as him, they're moving on. They're going, you know, you've retained him. You've got to cash in. You've got to seize it, at least in the sense of this has got to be the year in the American. Absolutely does. No excuses.
And while, like, this isn't, I guess, particularly fair to the football team, it's like, rightly or wrongly, this year feels like it has increased pressure because, you don't know how long this format even exists, and so having a chance to be a playoff team. And then B, even though it may not be true, everyone's still going to feel like the better you do in football, the better case you're going to make for moving into another league.
Well, I mean, we just watched Cincinnati and UCF. That certainly was a factor in them getting pulled up. And so that's the thing that you can, you know, you can hope for Memphis. And you said the word, and Jessica Benson said it with us earlier this week. It is unfair. It's absolutely unfair to those players of this, you know, everybody on that Memphis football team, for us to put that on them. You know, for us to say, man, y'all got to be good. You've got to get this brand sort of rebranded. You've got to, you know, galvanize it, you know, get this thing back to where it was and maybe a step above right now, so that, yes, no, it's not going to be the thing that puts you over the hump to television markets, the presidents of the haves, all those television executives, they're going to determine your fate ultimately. But if, again, to go back to that sort of boxes checked analogy, if you can have a hot brand of football, in this case, hopefully the best sort of thing outside the power structure, the best group of five program, and Memphis was just in that sort of position a few years ago, if you can recapture that, maybe build on it, then absolutely that helps. You cannot tell us here in Memphis that it didn't help Cincinnati, that they didn't sort of cash in, seize their opportunity with how good their football was. UCF did the same thing. It helped them. Does it put you over the hump? No. But having it is absolutely a good thing. Being at the forefront, you know, of these television executives' minds, because again, they saw you on ESPN. They watched you roll to an AAC title. And, oh, maybe you gave Florida State a nice little run. You know, having that in your corner can do nothing but help you. It certainly doesn't hurt you. And so, yeah, that's unfair to put that much, to heap that much onto a season, onto one group of players. But this has sort of been, again, it's not sort of, it has been that program's plight for its existence, whether you're talking about basketball or whatever else. And basketball, it's a little bit different conversation because it's been resourced differently and more so over the years. But it's always been about us trying to prove, I say us in terms of the Memphis Athletic Department, trying to prove to the rest of the country, the rest of the nation, in this case, the power structure, that we belong. And so here you've got it sort of encapsulated, Jeffrey, if you can see it, in a season where it matters more than ever, and you've got the opportunity. It just feels like when you look at this team on paper and now how it's stocked up in terms of resources and everything else and the rest of the guys that should be underneath you in the AAC, and man, it feels like, yes, opportunity to cash in. Is that fair to them? No, but it's been unfair for Memphis for a very long time and probably won't change anytime soon.
Jason, we appreciate it, my man.
You guys take care. You're doing a great job.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Tell Your Story, we have to go to one of the all-time kings of don't tell these story, tell your story. That's Jerry Jones. Today, when he was meeting with reporters about whether or not, about Dak's contract, basically, and all the other contracts that he has, Jerry added, in my life, I've had a lot of things I've wanted and couldn't get because I couldn't afford it. Like what, Jerry? There's no one that loves to tell you about financial responsibility quite like rich guys that buy everything that they want. Like, this is a man that couldn't afford the Cowboys when he bought it. Like, he's leveraging everything. He's putting up, like, oil fields. Like, he's leveraging everything just to try and buy it. It's like, nah, you basically buy everything you want whenever you want it, including silence from whoever's maybe suing you with a paternity suit. My thanks, of course, to Eric Hasenstein and Jason Smith for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast. She'll after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.